All right, so I thought I'd put you guys on the spot tonight. We'll do something a little bit different because I have a teaching, but I'm not going to start it because I think it'll go pretty long. Here's what we're going to do. Ready? We're each going to take a turn, and we're going to bring a meaningful scripture verse that we really appreciate and just why it's meaningful to us. So pretty simple. Scripture verses that have really spoken to you, why they're meaningful to you, and then you can read it and share, and then we can add to it, and we'll just kind of do a round robin for a little while. What do you think of that?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So I'll go first. I'm going to read from the Old Testament. Hold on. Let me get there. My phone's acting up. I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to read from Proverbs while you're looking up your verses. Proverbs 23, verse 23. I love this verse. I love them all, but I love this truth, this verse. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. When I first became a believer, I don't know, ever since we started, Sister Amon and I, the truth was what mattered to us, because I read this verse in John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I read that, and I was like, he's the truth, I want truth. It was simple to us. And so the truth has always been like a main thing we've dug for, and I think it's why we've been on the steady climb up in truth. We would not compromise, we would not accept less, we would not accept man-made religion. And I love that verse, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So to me, to put that like in a worldly example, like people buy stocks all the time to make money. So you buy a stock at $1 and you sell it at $3. You buy a stock at $2.50, you sell it at $4.50. Some people buy a stock, and if it's a really good one, their strategy is they never sell it. It just is got great value to it. And going back to the example in scripture, buy the truth. Now, of course, we can't buy the truth. We have parables in the New Testament where it shows us the man that got the pearl of great price, or he bought the field. So it's examples of us buying. How do we buy the truth? Well, we trade it for our life, essentially. Christ says, lose your life, you'll get me, I am the truth. So technically, we know we can't buy it, but we do attain it. And I just love the concept of buying the truth and selling it not. To me, that means get to the truth, find the truth, embrace the truth, and never let go of the truth, and you trade it for nothing. Does that make sense, brothers?
Amen.
Yeah. So that's mine. You can either comment on that, or Brother Kuo, you can go into your next, you go to the next verse.
All right, I'll go to the next verse. I don't have thoughts on that to add to that.
Okay.
So Job, I think this one, so I use this verse, it's kind of interesting how the Lord does this. I use this verse in my college show, my senior show for art. I was in like an art thing, graphic design. And I was showing off my work, and I actually used the Bible in my presentation because I was a professing Christian at the time. And I picked this verse, Job 38:11. This is the Lord talking about the sea and basically reprimanding Job and saying, were you there when I founded the earth and all this stuff? And he's talking, yeah, and he's talking about the sea. And he says, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. And I guess the concept I went for in my senior show was that the pride of my work in college and everything, and the Lord's asking this question, will your proud waves be stayed here? And praise God that he took me out of my false doctrine He showed me the light. He showed me the truth. And he has stayed my proud waves.
Amen.
Finally. So this verse kind of means a lot because I saw it in college. It's like, well, here the proud waves be stayed. Not quite. A little bit further, I was still dealing with pride. And the Lord finally stayed those proud waves. He broke me down to the point where I was nothing before him. And you have to get to that point. So this verse kind of sticks out in my mind for that.
Amen. Amen. I praise God for where you are, brother. That makes me think of Proverbs 6:17. I just preached it today at the Mennonite church we were at. A proud look is an abomination to God. I don't think people take pride serious enough as a sin, do they?
No, that's another verse that stuck out to me when I really sat down and read it. Like you read verses like three times, but sometimes it really hits you. And when I was seeking truth, I ran into that verse again. I think you pointed it out to me. You're like, you know, pride's an abomination, Proverbs 6:17. And I read that verse before. I had it memorized. But I read it again, and I'm like, it's an abomination to God. And that just stuck out to me. And I'm like, I got to stop being proud. And I just I just dropped it. But, yeah, take that seriously, but that's a root of a lot of sin.
Yeah, amen, amen. Good verse, good verse. Brother Purgos, it is your turn. Either comment on his verse or move on to yours.
I really appreciate that my brother has put down his pride. I see that in his life. And I am glad that the book of Job spoke to him. It's one of those books that always just puts man in his place whenever you start to feel like you're something.
Yeah.
I'll move on to a verse that I find particularly satisfying. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is one of those verses that's just like, when you came from a Calvinistic background without knowing it, it's one of those verses that just shatters so many things. It talks about both knowledge and faith, as in something you can know and something you can do that can affect your eternal state. It's one of those that just sort of destroys all the God chose you type mentality in your life. And it gives you actionable things to do to acquire salvation. So amen. That's a verse that means a lot to me.
Amen. Amen. Brother Zelos, are you online?
Yes.
Praise God,
we've got a good parking spot.
Good, good. Praise God, brother. I'm glad you arrived. Glad you arrived. We are going round robin, doing something a little different, and everyone is quoting a favorite verse of theirs, and then describing why it's meaningful to them, and then the next brother can comment on it or just go on to his next verse. So it's your turn if you'd like to share with us one of your favorite verses and why it is that favorite for you.
Oh, wow. That's a hard one.
Well, doesn't have to be your favorite. It just could be one verse that's meaningful to you is what is our point is. If you're not ready, we can keep going and you can catch up.
No, I got one that I've been thinking about lately that's meaningful.
Awesome.
It's actually a series of verses. Does it have to be one verse or can it be a passage?
Oh, no, it could be a passage.
Okay. Psalm 23:1-4. Like, I might as well just finish the psalm. What of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that psalm, and it's really meaningful because for some reason lately, especially, I look at it and I kind of see and draw a lot of strength from it in parallels in where where the God's taken my life. It's like no matter how much your life changes and where you go and how troublesome it can get and all the ups and downs that come from walking the narrow road, and sometimes you crash and burn and you get up again and you keep striving and all of that, it's kind of the trust and the faith and the reliance on the Lord that's always there. Like, especially verse 4, even though you could walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for you know that God's with you. And that if you continue in Him, that goodness and mercy will continue to follow you, and you're going to one day inherit and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that passage in Scripture. Lately, it's becoming more. Sometimes Scripture sinks in deeper, and that lately has been sinking in deeper for me.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, now that you're a van dweller, He leadeth me to a good parking spot every night. And it's meaningful now, because every night you're somewhere different and you're just thankful to be where you are in a safe place, right?
Yes, and it's more like, I guess, the 10,000 foot view of things, that sitting back and just having it, like you did a teaching a while ago, you look back to learn, not to lament. Just stopping and just looking over everywhere that God, the Lord's taken me. Like, it's always been, He's made sure we're taken care of. As long as we walk in His word, like, even He could prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I mean, that passage signifies for me, like, even if everybody's against you and everybody hates you, God can basically sit you down and feast you and nourish you and keep you and grow you in the midst of the greatest trials and tribulations of your life.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. That passage is kind of meaningful lately.
Yeah, sometimes you grow the most from all those trials and tribulations.
Amen.
Yeah. I guess it's my turn. I'm up next. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love that. Seek ye first. It's like Matthew 22, love God with all your heart, soul, mind. The great commandment is to love God. So seek the kingdom first. And then I love how it just, like, it's got like an exclamation point to me, and His righteousness. It's like we meet a lot of people when we witness in the streets, even at churchianity places, people would say, oh yeah, the kingdom of God. Yeah, I got it. I'm walking in that. But they don't follow up with, and His righteousness. Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness means you're living it. You're walking in His ways. You're keeping His doctrine. You're seeking that which is right before God. And so people don't do that. They just think like the kingdom of God is like some kind of thing you just dream about and you think about it and you got it. But it's an action to seek it, to walk in it, to walk in His ways, His sound doctrine, preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything He's commanded. And I know as a body, we do that. And then He says a promise. Brother Zelos was doing a teaching on the promises, and he did the gospels and he's working on the epistles coming up. And it always has something, a promise behind it, sometimes a condition. Sometimes there's a condition and a promise, sometimes a promise and a condition. This one says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So seek God, and here's a promise, all these things shall be added unto you. So I like that. Ever since I've been seeking the kingdom of God and seeking His righteousness, doing that which is right before God, that has revolutionized my life and our house to the simplicity of the gospel, and just preaching Christ, following Christ, defending the doctrines of Christ, and sharing it with everybody we can. It's a real fundamental verse, but it's real, or I should say it's a real simple verse, but it's fundamental for who we are in Christ. So I really love that verse, Matthew 6:33. Brother Kuo, I think it's your turn.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one verse to what you were saying. Let's see. Yeah, Mark 10:29-31. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So I really like that passage, because that's a promise. If you lose everything for Christ and the gospel's sake, he sees that, and you'll receive it a hundredfold now in this time with persecutions and in the world to come. So that's an awesome promise.
Amen.
And then another verse that came to mind for me, one of my favorite, and I just love how the Lord rebukes Satan in this passage. It's when he was getting tempted by Satan. And I'll start at Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, this is my verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I just love how he says, get thee hence, Satan. It's just so, like, so authoritative, and so just like, I just really love how he says that. He commands Satan. It's almost like he, when I believe it was Peter, said, Lord, he tried to prevent him from going to his death and whatnot, and he's like, get thee behind me, Satan. It's just, so it just puts Satan in his place, and I love how we can have that same authority. Like, we're in Christ, we're born of his spirit, and we can say, get thee behind me, Satan, I'm going to do the will of God. So I just love that verse.
Amen. Can I just add something to that? Get thee hence. Basically, let me put it in English today, get out of here, Satan. That's basically what he's saying. If you look up that Greek word, get out of here. I love that.
I have an interesting story about that statement. Somebody used that on me today. They told me to depart from them.
You mean ho ho ho?
Depart from me. Yeah.
Ho ho ho.
A Santa Claus who claimed to be a Christian, and when I asked him why he was doing paganism, he told me I needed to depart from him.
Okay, Santa.
You realize that Santa and Satan are only different because you switch two letters.
Yeah, yeah, very different. Not much difference, actually. We talked about that a lot, quite a bit. He's knowing. He knows you've been bad or good. All this kind of stuff. He's got supernatural power. He's flying around in the air. Yeah. Amazing. Brother Purgos, I think you're up.
Can I have three verses?
Of course you can.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 through 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Those verses just always give me hope. Every time I need to repent of something, or every time I think there's no more forgiveness, it also reminds me of Christ saying, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven man except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's like his well of forgiveness is unending, and the way we think and the way we rationalize things aren't even comparable.
Amen. Amen. Great verse. I love that. Brother Zelos, you're up.
1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I love the way it says that before it tells us, it doesn't just tell us, you know, go tell everybody what you believe and why. It says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And then it tells us to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh of you. And I know this, like, well, I guess we all know this. If you're in the flesh and not in the spirit, then you're not sanctifying and lifting up Christ crucified and the holiness of God in your life and in your heart. You're not going to be ready to give an answer to another man.
Amen.
But you're supposed to do that first, which is basically cleanse the inside. And then it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of part of our mission summed up in this verse. To cleanse yourself and make sure, not why we don't cleanse ourselves, but we make sure that we repent of all sin and the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sin. And then we go forth and are always ready to give every man an answer, no matter where you are.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I like that. I like how it says, be ready to give an answer. And a lot of people would just jump right over that and go, oh, you just got to know some scripture verses. But you said it well. You got to be ready in the spirit, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah. Can't be walking in the flesh. Can't be out to get people. You can't be thinking we're better than them. You can't be thinking anything outside of the what's about redemption and then give an answer to people in a way that will glorify God and convict them and hopefully bring their soul to salvation, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good verse. Good verse. Let's see. It's my turn. 2 Peter. I'm going back to the book of Peter. You just quoted Peter 1. 1 Peter, I think. 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I love a couple reasons. Verse 9 tells us that God wants none to perish, so it's why we go preach. If you street preach, do street ministry, and you're looking at all these people and you're witnessing to them and they don't want the truth, and you go, why am I doing this? God wants none to perish. He wants you to proclaim it. If there's 500 people in front of you, proclaim the gospel to all of them. If they all ignore it, that's okay. It's their will being done, but God doesn't want them to perish. And I love verse 8, how it says, it kind of tells us who God is. One day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. It's hard for us to even comprehend that. We go, what? One day, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. It shows you how finite we are compared to this infinite God. And then I love how he says he wants none to perish. That always encourages me and Sister Raman to keep going in street ministry, even though we don't see a lot of fruit from the ministry, meaning people coming to knowledge of Christ and being born again and walking out of the world, away from the world and churchianity. We know God wants none of these people to perish, and we go forth to defend his truth, to preach the gospel, to glorify God, and to put the truth in them. What they do with it, that's up to them. But I know my God wants none to perish, so it kind of pushes me onward in the ministry. I think Brother Kuo is up.
I have a verse that's coming to mind. Just a moment while I search it up.
Okay. Maybe does Brother Purgos want to go if you're ready?
Definitely. My verse is going to be from Matthew, and it is going to be chapter 7, and I'll decide which verses. How about 22 and 23? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those two verses changed my life and cut through. They basically lit a fire under me because I realized that not everyone who claims him is going to make it. And I was missing something from scripture because none of the false teachers were teaching on that that I was listening to at that point. And those two verses drove me to seek out the truth.
Amen. Yeah, that's some powerful stuff right there. That's good stuff to remind people that are in churchianity and such. There's a grave warning there. Most of them are all false converts. We see it by their fruit. They fall right in line with that verse.
It really scares me that these people thought they were working for him. So they were self-deceived.
Amen.
Of their own fault. These people thought they were... They even claim works for him. These aren't people that just say, yeah, I believe and did nothing. These are people actually doing things in his name.
Yeah.
It's sort of like James 1:26 or 1:27 where it says, pure and undefiled religion is to visit fathers and orphans in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. People seem to always only remember half of verses.
Yeah. They remember what they want to, yeah. Amen. Amen. Good verse. Brother Kuo, are you ready?
Yeah. I have two right in a row. These are great verses for street preaching. So Isaiah 50:7-8. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. I love those verses. I love the face, setting the face like flint, like just solid. Like you're not moved by anything. Like the mockers come up, people are laughing at you, or... whatever it might be. There's an echo.
Yeah, those are great. I love that. Set your face like a flint.
Yeah. Are you guys hearing an echo on your end?
I am.
Okay. I wasn't going crazy.
We can live with it. We'll just be doing a few more rounds here. I think it's Brother Zelos' turn.
All right, so I have...
Hey, Brother Zelos, what happened? We lost you.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
You're, like, really low.
Yeah. Maybe my connection's bad.
Maybe we should... Let's all jump off and come back on.
1 Samuel 12... Verses 23 to 25, basically the end. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. I love this passage because, just a quick note in context, Israel was asking for a king. God wasn't pleased, but he gave it to him anyways. And then Israel was like, are you going to pray to God for us? Are you going to, like, forsake us now that we've asked for a king? And then Samuel gave this answer, and I just love the message it kind of gives. In context, this was to Israel, but kind of for the saints now, like, sometimes you crash and burn, sometimes you stumble or you slip up or something. And then things can happen where you can either keep spiraling downward, or you can basically, to put it in a worldly phrase, when you're in a hole, stop digging. Right? And basically you've done this, but now stop, fear the Lord and turn around and serve him with all your heart. Remember what you've done. Go sit in the ashes if you have to. Humble yourself, own up to it. And then get up and keep serving the Lord. But if you continue to do your wickedness, you will be consumed.
Amen.
It's kind of a message of both warning and hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. good verses. I think it's my turn. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12. 12, 13, and 14. I don't know, I read these about a year ago. I was reading through Ecclesiastes, and these just kind of stuck out at me. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or bad, or whether it be good or whether it be evil. I love the simplicity of Solomon's words here. We can just take that verse 13. Let's hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's what you're supposed to do, man. That's it. pretty base right to it. Fear God, keep his commandments. Because of that fear, that is the duty of man as his creation. I love that. And that sounds so simple, but guess what? How few people do you know that even do that? And all of them that you know that claim Christ, but how few of the ones do you know that claim Christ actually do that? Fear God and keep his commandments as a duty. Almost everybody we see, oh, we don't have to do that. Why do we have to do that? Oh, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. They don't see it as their duty to fear God and obey him, do they?
No. And I find it kind of interesting. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. Yeah. It's all tied together.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Amen. All right, we'll go one more round. Whose turn is it? Is it Brother Purgos' turn, I think?
Psalm 37 talks whenever I'm feeling one of the psalms I really like. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Basically tells you, do his will, wait, you'll get rewarded. Judgment is coming for the wicked.
Amen.
All in one verse.
Amen.
Brother Kuo, you're up.
So I'll throw in this verse because this is one verse that I never saw in the scriptures before. It's one of those verses you maybe have read over a bunch of times, but you didn't really see it. And then you go back and it's like, did that really say that? It's in Mark 8. I'll start at verse 23, but the verse is 24. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. I just find that a really interesting verse because that's, it. First of all, it shows like the Bible and the medical field, like when people start to see, get their sight back and whatnot. They see like blurry figures of people and it may look like trees walking, but I also think it's an interesting tie into men bearing fruit and like, you know, men as trees walking. It's like we bear fruit, whether it be good or evil. And I just, that verse is, I had never seen that before till someone pointed that out to me. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Brother Zelos, you're up.
Okay, I've got Jeremiah 1:17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. That's a really good verse to keep in mind for me when I go witness the gospel or street preaching or whatever. It was given to the prophets, but we kind of do a prophets like God in proclaiming a prophets like Job. In going forth to proclaim the word of God. And it's kind of a warning for me anyways. I think it's a good one. If you go out, then you're going to have fear of men, or be a man pleaser, or be dismayed at their faces, because you're going to go forth to proclaim all that the gods commanded you. Like Jesus echoed that. Go and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded them, I've commanded you. If we're dismayed, and basically we let it get to us and we're in our flesh, God's going to confound us before them.
Yeah.
Because it's actually insulting to a holy God to go forth and proclaim his truth and fear men. I mean, the creator of the universe gives an instruction to his creation, and you tell them this is what the creator of the universe says. He could destroy us all with a snap, like in a heartbeat, and you want to be scared of men. It's kind of lack of faith and everything. It's just that verse kind of helps me remember to never, ever, ever be in your flesh when you go street preaching.
Amen. Amen. Good verse, brother. Good verse. All right, I'll finish us out here. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. You want some encouragement? Here we go. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. Yeah, he's talking about Satan. Verse 11. And they overcame him, talking about the saints, by the blood of the Lamb, the gospel, by the word of their testimony, what the gospel's done in our lives. And they loved not their lives unto death. We've given up our lives. We've surrendered our will. We're serving and preaching Christ. I love that. If you need encouragement, think about what's coming in the world. Yeah, it's going to be perilous, great tribulation. Go read verse 11. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, what he's done in our life. And guess what? I'm not afraid, because I love not this life unto death. I'm living for the next kingdom to come, not this one right here. Amen?
Amen.
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 Oh, good. That was awesome. That was awesome. We'll do that every once in a while. Just kind of go around Robin and share verses and such and talk about them, and everybody will be greatly edified by that. Thank you so much, brothers.